Chapter 97. Now, at 7, the missus wanna have it a bit later. I, said Adam, I'll come if I can. But I can't often say what I'll do beforehand, for the work often holds me longer than I expect. You will stay till the end of the week, Dinah?
Yes, yes, said Mr. Poyser.
He'll have no nay. She's no call to be in a hurry, observed Mrs. Poyser. Scarceness of it'll all keep. There's no need to be hasty while the cooking. And scarceness is what there's the biggest stock of I that country. Dinah smiled, but gave no promise to stay, and they talked of other things through the rest of the walk, lingering in the sunshine, to look at the great flock of geese grazing, at the new corn ricks, and at the surprising abundance of fruit on the old pear tree. Nancy and Molly having already hastened home, side by side, each holding, carefully wrapped in her pocket handkerchief, a prayer book, in which she could read little beyond the large letters and the amens. Surely all other leisure is hurry compared with a sunny walk through the fields from afternoon church as such walks used to be in those old leisurely times, when the boat, gliding sleepily along the canal, was the newest locomotive wonder. When Sunday books had most of them old brown leather covers, and opened with remarkable precision always in one place. Leisure is gone, where the spinning wheels are gone, and the pack horses, and the slow wagons, and the peddlers, who brought bargains to the door on sunny afternoons. Ingenious philosophers tell you, perhaps, that the great work of the steam engine is to create leisure for mankind. Do not believe them. It only creates a vacuum for eager thought to rush in. Even idleness is eager for amusement, prone to excursion trains, art museums, periodical literature, and exciting novels, prone even to scientific theorizing, and cursory peeps through microscopes. Old leisure was quite a different personage. He only read one newspaper, innocent of leaders, and was free from that periodicity of sensations which we call post-time. He was a contemplative, rather stout gentleman, of excellent digestion, of quiet perceptions, undiseased by hypothesis, happy in his inability to know the causes of things, preferring the things themselves. He lived chiefly in the country, among pleasant seats and homesteads, and was fond of sauntering by the fruit tree wall and scenting the apricots, when they were warmed by the morning sunshine, or of sheltering himself under the orchard boughs at noon, when the summer pears were falling. He knew nothing of weekday services, and thought none the worse of the Sunday sermon, if it allowed him to sleep from the text to the blessing, liking the afternoon service best, because the prayers were the shortest, and not ashamed to say so. For he had an easy jolly conscience, broad back like himself, and able to carry a great deal of beer port wine, not being made squeamish by doubts and qualms and lofty aspirations. Life was not a task to him, but a sinecure. He fingered the guineas in his pocket, and ate his dinners, and slept the sleep of the irresponsible, for had he not kept up his character by going to church on the Sunday afternoons? Fine old leisure. Do not be severe upon him, and judge him by our modern standard. He never went to Exeter Hall, or heard a popular preacher, or read tracts for the Times or Sartorius Sardis. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.